The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Says, thou shalt not kill. Now, does that mean that we should dissolve our military forces and that we should take the guns away from our policemen? Welcome to the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for divine wisdom for this very difficult text. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear ones, today I'm continuing on the sixth commandment of God, which is, thou shalt not kill. Last week I shared with you what this does mean, and today I shall share with you what this does not mean. Well, what it does mean, thou shalt not kill, is first of all, that life is sacred. At the heart of the Ten Commandments is the sacredness of life, because life was created by God and for God. Therefore, we must not kill the unborn. Therefore, we must not kill our brother. Therefore, we must not kill old people, those who've lost their productivity in life. We must not kill the mentally retarded. We must not kill those who have become immobile. It also means that we must not kill ourselves. We must not commit suicide, because all life is sacred, yes, even our own. Now today, we shall consider this question: is there then any justification for military service? The answer to this question is yes, there is. As we look at the context of the sixth commandment in Exodus 20, as we look at the whole Bible, which is our context on the matter of killing and anything else, we can say this, that thou shalt not kill really means thou shalt not murder. That is, that no person is ever entitled to take the law in his own hand to murder another person. Yet when you look at the whole Bible, you find out that amongst other things, the Bible is a book of wars. The word destroy and its derivatives, such as the word cut off, is employed hundreds of times in the Word of God. So the Bible is not only a book of peace, but it's also a book of war. We know that God destroyed all of humankind except for Noah, the righteous man, and his family. As we learn from Genesis, we know that God destroyed by fire and brimstone the cities and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that there are times when God called upon the nation of Israel to destroy other nations that sinned against God to the point of no return. For example, we know of the story of the Amalekites who opposed the nation of Israel, and God said, destroy all the Amalekites and destroy the Canaanites. Yes, do not kill means do not murder. But this does not mean that God-fearing nations should dissolve their military and let evil nations conquer them. Now, this is not only Old Testament theology, but also New Testament theology, so it's biblical theology. And for that, we go to the 13th chapter of the book of Romans in the New Testament, and here it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, he talks here about governmental power, resisteth the ordinance or the law of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And then Paul says that these rulers, the rulers of nations, they are ministers of God, and he says they do not bear the sword in vain. They are called to be revengers and to execute wrath upon those who do evil. So here in Romans, God says the government needs a sword, the government needs weapons, and the government needs men who know how to use those weapons. Well then, when the Nazi government invaded Austria, and when the Nazi government then invaded Czechoslovakia, and when that government then invaded Poland during World War II, and when that government began to suppress and oppress the Jewish people, the nations of England and France immediately declared war on this Nazi government. And this, my friend, as I see it, was a righteous war, It was a just war for England and France to get into, and the United States fought it later. And righteous men, men like Rees Howell, other great men of God, began to engage the Lord God in prayer for help that this spreading, creeping evil would not continue throughout the rest of the world. And as men of God prayed, even as Moses, Caleb, and Hur prayed in the battle against the Amalekites, as men of God prayed, as soldiers fought in the battle, the Allied forces prevailed and brought justice. God is against anyone who enslaves people and has no respect for the rights of individuals. Nazi Germany killed Jews, gypsies, the feeble, the retarded, the mentally retarded. They killed men and women because of their religious beliefs, because the Nazi government had no respect for the sacredness of life. And so the Allied forces, my friend, came against this nation in which I was born during World War II, and this indeed was a just cause, a just war. Yes, do not kill means do not murder. God does not give you or me a sword or a gun to kill somebody, but if the government that has a just cause gives you a sword and calls you to use it for a righteous cause, my friend, then you may use it. This is also what we believe to be right for the policemen in our streets. These men all need guns to protect themselves in the exercise of justice and their duty to pursue evil. Yes, the kingdom of God is not of this world. The kingdom of God does not need weapons. It does not need swords and guns. It does not need them to defend itself nor to advance its cause. For the kingdom of God is not of this world. But we must distinguish between nation states, earthly kingdoms, and the kingdom of God. They're two different concepts. And in nation states, God says the ruler does not bear the sword in vain, but for the kingdom of God, the word is put away your sword and give yourselves unto prayer and fastings in the advancement of the kingdom of God, because Jesus knew that earthly governments needed swords, but the heavenly kingdom does not need a sword. So Jesus never told a soldier to put away a sword. Well, you say, didn't he tell Peter to put away his sword? Well, my friend, Peter was not a soldier, neither in the Jewish nor in the Roman army. Peter was an apostle. There was also John the Baptist, and he preached the gospel of repentance. He had soldiers coming unto him, and a soldier said to this evangelist, "What shall we do then to get right with God?" And this is what John the Baptist told them. This is found in Luke chapter 3:14. "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." Loved ones, there are two things that stand out to me here in John the Baptist's words to the soldiers. Number one, he said, be content with your wages. He did not say to the soldiers, go change your job, leave the military, get your wages from somebody else. John did not say, get another job, get another salary, but he said, be content with the salary as you now receive as a soldier. Then also John the Baptist said to these soldiers, do violence to no man. So actually here we have a combination of do not murder and do not kill, as the government may order you to kill. Do violence to no man means do not murder once you have invaded a city or a village. Do not go on a rampage to kill people once the city is conquered. It means do not rape the women. Do not break into people's homes. And do not hurt them in any way. Do not destroy their property. Yes, remain a soldier if that's what your calling is, but behave yourselves as a good soldier. So what you actually have in this verse of John the Baptist speaking in Luke 3:14 is a Geneva Convention. If you fight a war, let it be a just war for a just cause and respect human rights and human dignity in the war. Now, then, we shall leave the meaning of do not kill in a physical sense, and we shall go to the message do not kill in a spiritual sense. I'm going to take you to 1 John chapter 3:15. And this is what it says, John talking to Christians. It says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That means any Christian who hates his brother, who has eternal life, that means who has everlasting salvation, if he does hate his brother, becomes a murderer and will lose his salvation. Let me read this to you again. Open your heart to this truth. It says, black on white, I quote, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, the word hate here, coming from the Greek misio, means, first of all, to detest. If you detest your brother, you have become a murderer, and the eternal life you had will drain out of you. The secondary meaning of the word hate here, from the Greek word misio, means to love less. And that is to say, if you love your brother less than yourself, then you are on the way of becoming a murderer, not considering the worth of his soul as equal to the worth of your own soul. This gets us back to the second commandment of the two great commandments, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And if you do not love your brother, or as your neighbor as yourself, but love him less than yourself, that means you detest him, that means you hate him, that means you put yourself above him, and that means you're on the way to become a murderer. And that gets me back to that verse again, because I want you to get it so you really have it in your heart, how serious it is if we don't love our brothers and love our neighbors. Whosoever, the Bible says, hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I always know when I have a murderer on my hands. When some Christian comes to me and says, I love brother so-and-so, I know brother so-and-so is a man of God, but when I hear the word but, I know we're beginning to go downhill about this brother, and we know we have a murderer on our hands. For example, I know our pastor is a real man of God, but he should spend a lot more time making hospital calls and visiting people, the shut-ins in their homes, etc. My friend, when that but comes up, we know we have a murderer in our hands. Now, this serious teaching is also found in the Sermon on the Mount, where the Lord Jesus refers to the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, by saying this, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, which means you worthless one, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. And then Jesus continues, if you want to bring your gift to the altar, if you want to get right with God at the altar, before you can expect forgiveness from God, go to your brother who you are angry with and get right with him, and then come back to the altar, and you can indeed expect God to forgive you. Thou shalt not kill. Now we know, my friend, what that means. It means on an individual basis, in a physical sense, do not murder. It means in a sense of the military, yes, there are just wars that are necessary for the preservation of nations. And yes, we know there is something like spiritual murder. And if we as Christians commit that, we shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, Heavenly Father, I know this was a very difficult message, and it gets right to the heart towards our brother. Deliver us from any criticism, because criticism is murder. It has no place in the law of love. So deliver us from it. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tune in again next week. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then.